This is The Pillars of Bathurst with Dr. Robin McLaughlin and Brett Van Heekeren. The Pillars of Bathurst project is a cultural heritage memorial garden that commemorates past Bathurstians who've added something special to the story of Bathurst. These are their stories.
Hello, welcome to another edition of The Pillars of Bathurst with Brett Van Heekeren and Dr. Robin McLaughlin. Hello, Robin. Who is our Bathurst pillar person in this episode?
Hello, Brett. I'd like to tell our listeners about a remarkable man by the name of Percy Gresser. Percy was a lifelong resident of the Bathurst area. He was born here in 1892. By profession, he was a contract shearer. This was an occupation that called on him to travel widely throughout western New South Wales and southern Queensland. Let's have Percy begin his story in his own words. In the following of my occupation as a shearer, I have traversed over a widespread area of country. During the weekends and time lost owing to wet weather, I have had many opportunities for collecting, also for observation.
And what was Percy Gresser collecting and observing, Robin?
He was collecting Aboriginal stone tools. Whenever he could, he would spend his off time from shearing, walking properties looking for stone tools. But as well as collecting artifacts, he would observe the country around him, looking for signs of Aboriginal campsites and stone quarries, drawing on local knowledge where possible. Percy Gresser started his collecting and observing in 1917, age 24, when shearing on a property on the Darling River above Wilcannia. He continued his collecting and observing for the next 50 years. He described what he was doing as a hobby. Let me again quote Percy. I have had no anthropological training whatever. The collecting with me was merely a hobby, and a most interesting hobby I have found it to be. A hobby it may have been, but Percy Gresser brought a scholarly mind to the artifacts he was collecting and the landscapes he was observing. He carefully documented his finds, classifying them according to type, and noting where they had been found. When it came to providing an epitaph for Percy's plaque, we used a single word, anthropologist. Anthropology, the study of society and culture, was a term familiar to Percy and one he associated with his collecting and observing. But we did not add amateur, as in amateur anthropologist. Percy may have been self-taught, but his collecting and observing went far beyond that of an amateur. Following his retirement from contract shearing, Percy found time to make his work better known to major Australian institutions, such as the Australian Museum in Sydney, and I suspect Frederick McCarthy, the museum's curator of anthropology, and John Mulvaney, known today as the father of Australian archaeology, were gobsmacked by what this former shearer from Bathurst had to offer from his decades of study of Aboriginal stone tools. Percy's pioneering research was soon recognized as a major contribution to the field by leading scholars in Australia. Percy Gresser himself contributed several articles to Mankind, the leading anthropological journal in Australia. His research was also cited in the publications of other scholars, even to this day. He may not have had a university education, but Percy knew his stuff. Formal acknowledgement of his expertise in the study of Aboriginal stone tools came with his election as an associate of the Australian Institute of Aboriginal Studies. I found his name listed among 70 or so other associates, most of whom have academic degrees and positions in museums and universities or with government departments. His entry simply offers his name, P. Gresser, together with his address on Keppel Street, Bathurst.
50 years of collecting. Percy Gresser must have accumulated a massive collection of stone tools, and you also mentioned his writings. What happened to all that work? Please, please don't tell me it's been lost.
Gresser's collection of stone artifacts is said to have numbered some 10,000 individual items, and his writings fill volumes of notebooks, carefully handwritten in pen and ink, as well as numerous folders of typewritten manuscripts and research notes. Are they all lost to us today, Brett? I'll say more later, but for now the answer is yes and no. I'd like first to tell our listeners more about the contributions of Percy Gresser to our knowledge of our own region. His collecting of stone tools and seeking out sites associated with early Aboriginal activity included this area, as well as places further west. His writings also include unpublished papers on local Wiradjuri campsites and tool-making sites, and much more, much more. Percy was also interested in the history of Wiradjuri-European contact and conflict in the first decades of colonial settlement. He thought it important that this history should be better known. To that end, he published a series of groundbreaking articles on this subject in Bathurst's Western Times in the early 1960s. Later, with Tom Salisbury, drawing on those articles, he co-wrote a book, Winterdine of the Wiradjuri, Martial Law at Bathurst in 1824, published in 1971, 2 years after his death. This was the first book to give serious consideration to the violence that accompanied European settlement of Wiradjuri country. It continues still to be a resource for historians researching this subject. Let me offer a measure of Percy's scholarship as an historian of early settlement. Yes, his work was flawed in many respects, as more recent writers with better access to more information have shown. But compare Gresser's work with the virtual absence of mention of the Wiradjuri in the pages of The Story of Bathurst, a history book published in 1961, and then reflect on the interest being shown in the Wiradjuri side of the story by present-day historians. Percy Gresser was decades ahead of his times in the importance he placed on the experiences of the Wiradjuri people in the history of early settlement.
Robin, you are clearly impressed with Percy Gresser and his pioneering studies in both anthropology and our local history, but I'm sure our listeners would like to know what happened to his collection of stone tools and all those notebooks and folders you mentioned. Yes and no, Robin, is not a satisfactory response to my earlier question.
Be patient, Brett. I will reveal all shortly. I would, though, first like to tell you about another aspect of Percy Gresser's work. He was also what we'd call today a folk historian. Before his marriage in 1929, Percy lived on a property in Dermanagh, where his simple cottage has been carefully preserved by the present-day owner. It was likely during his years there that he became interested in the history of the music played at what he called old-time bush dances. As was his way, Percy made detailed notes about the music and the musicians. His research soon extended into a social history of early Dermanagh, recounting its settlement and development. His research notes await discovery.
Discovery? Discovery where, Robin? Where do they await discovery?
Oh, in the Mitchell Library in Sydney, Brett. In the P.J. Gresser Papers collection, together with many of Percy's research notes and unpublished manuscripts. All this material came to the library as a bequest from Percy on his death in 1969. The bequest included his diaries, some 12 volumes in all, covering the period from 1921 to 1968. Personally, I think there is an undiscovered gem of Australian literature in those diaries, awaiting an editor and a publisher. But I'll tell you of only one entry, Friday, 17th of April, 1964. Percy was visited that day by Theo Barker, then recently elected as the president of the Bathurst Historical Society. Theo had come to mend the rift between Percy and the society. In his diary, Percy recounts how he had some time earlier severed all connection with the society over, to quote from the diary, undue interference in my work. And he continues, most preposterous requests had been put to me that my anthropological collection and manuscripts should be put at the disposal of the local historical society, resulting in me to give them to understand in no unmistakable manner just where the historical society got off. From other entries in the diaries and my own conversations with the late Theo Barker, my understanding is that the society had over time come to recognize the importance of Percy Gresser's research and saw value in adding his collection to that of the society. But from Percy's perspective, the society's tiny museum, with its focus on settler history and its limited resources, was not an appropriate home for his life's work. Tempers flared, and the argument became heated and personal. Percy severed his connection with the society. But he did not go back on his wish that what he had collected locally should remain with the museum. His local finds are still held by the Bathurst Historical Museum, neatly displayed in a collection of glass-fronted display boxes. However, the rest of his collection was donated or bequeathed to major national institutions. I've told you already something of the Mitchell Library's Gresser papers. In Canberra, the Australian Institute of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Studies also has its Gresser collection, with over 70 catalogued items ranging from letters to unpublished manuscripts. As for Percy's collection of stone tools, most of the collection appears to have been donated beyond Bathurst. In 1962, he donated over 6,000 stone implements to the Australian Museum in Sydney. These were implements he had collected from over 100 sites in western New South Wales and southern Queensland. It was said to have been the best private collection of its type in existence. On making his gift, Percy commented to quote, "It is gratifying to know that the results of many years of labor will go to where they will be appreciated and taken care of."
Well, thank you, Robin. You've answered my question as to whether Percy's collection was lost to us. As you said, yes, much of it has been lost to Bathurst, and no, not to Australia.
I can also add a perhaps to my answer. What I have talked about happened over 60 years ago, and to be frank, I don't think Bathurst back then was capable of providing a proper home for Percy Gresser's legacy. Today, I think Bathurst could, with the cooperation of the institutions I have mentioned, provide an appropriate home for some portion of Percy Gresser's larger collection of stone tools, together with digitized copies of his papers, especially those on subjects of local interest. Perhaps. Perhaps as part of a Centre for Eragery History and Culture. In 2015, Bathurst remembered Percy Gresser with a plaque on the Bathurst pillars.
You have been listening to one of the stories behind the Pillars of Bathurst, presented by Dr. Robin McLaughlin. This series was produced in the studios of 2MCE FM.